Well, this morning, I want to speak to you about a truth that God has been revealing to me for some time. But the journey started with an encounter with Scripture. And I want to, the reason I'm telling you this is I want to get you excited about having encounters with Scripture. You know, those nuggets that just go bang off the pages and change our lives forever. He wants that for you, every one of us in this place today. So God wants to have an encounter with you through His Word. So what I'm going to share about this morning started with an encounter with His Word. So I was reading the Bible one morning, just a normal everyday. I don't know whether it was a weekday, I don't know whether it was a weekend. It was just a normal day. And I was reading Philippians 4, and I came across this verse, and it said this: be anxious for nothing. And I thought, yeah, right. I thought, God, are you serious? Like, I'd read this scripture before, but it just seems to bounce off the pages and go, be anxious for nothing. And I said, God, really? You want me to be anxious for nothing? Don't you know that I have a business? Don't you know that I have work to get finished? Don't you know that I have financial deadlines and I have continuing life dramas to sort? How will I ever do that? So he had my attention and I continued reading. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now look, that was no surprise to me because I realized that as a Christian, I needed to pray. And I was well aware of the scripture in James 4:2 that says, you do not have because you do not ask. So I was aware that praying was part of my Christian life. And supplication, all that means is to continue to humbly bring your request to God. But the challenge was this, is that I had prayed, but that didn't always alleviate the anxiety that I felt over a situation. Have you ever noticed that? That we might have this situation that we're very anxious about or concerned about. But prayer, my experience was just prayer did not alleviate my anxiety. Then I read the next two words. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And suddenly, those words just jumped off the pages and smacked me in the chest. It's like someone punched me. And I realized that I'd read these words 1,000 times before, and there they were, with thanksgiving. And those two words started me on a journey that changed my life forever in the area of dealing with anxiety, how I worshipped, how I did relationships. It probably saved my marriage, and every facet of my life was shifted by the revelation of those two words. But I read on because the scripture didn't stop there. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I wanted that peace. That was my deal. I was anxious about all these areas of my life, and I was struggling to find peace just through prayer. And I realized that a peace that surpasses all understanding was really my ultimate goal in life. It was my desire. I wanted that thing. And then the more I thought about it, I realized that's what the world is looking for. The peace that surpasses all understanding. A way out of our anxiety and our pressure and our stress and our restlessness. And my experience has been that living a life of thanksgiving has released that peace over my life. But not only that, also favor and blessing. See, there is a power that goes with thanksgiving that is greater than the act itself. Thanksgiving is a powerful supernatural weapon given by God so that you can overcome in life. Let's have a look at why. Firstly, and I believe this is probably most importantly, being thankful is the doorway to God's presence. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." So even before we enter that place of his presence, we need to come before that place of his presence with thanksgiving. So if you want to find the place of God's presence in your life, this is the place to start. Often hear people say, "Oh, I just feel so dry. I just can't seem to find God's presence. I pray and I do this and I do that and I just can't seem to access for myself God's presence." See, we come into this place on a Sunday morning and there already is a platform of thanksgiving been created for you. So it's quite easy to enter into that place of his presence. But when you're home on your own and the kids are making a racket and your husband's late from work and the food needs to be on the table, how do we find that place of his presence? Well, Psalm 104 says this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." Notice there's gates on the presence of God. You wouldn't think so, would you? But thanksgiving is the key to open the lock of the door of his presence. Let's just try this. Just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, we just bless you and thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you are far greater and far mightier than every situation that would cause anxiety in this room. Thank you, Lord, that you have the power, that you have the strength, that you have the anointing to set every captive free in this room. Thank you, Lord, that your power is available to us because we are your children. Thank you, Lord, that you purchased us with your blood. Thank you, Lord, that we have all we need for this life and for godliness in you. We thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. God's presence is released in thankfulness. We were pastoring a church in Rockingham, and I had this little job I had to do, and it's very, very simple. I just needed to get in my car, I needed to drive to Bunbury, and I needed to pick something up, and I needed to get back in my car and drive back to the church. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? I didn't have anyone particular to see down there, I just needed to pick up this thing. So I jumped in my car, and I put some worship music on, and I sat there driving my way to Bunbury, and I just started to thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here with me right now. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is available to me. And thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon my life. And you know, the presence of God started to come. And it came heavy and heavier and heavier. And I continued to just thank him and praise him. And I tell you what, by the time I got to Bunbury, I didn't want to stop. I just could have kept driving. And the presence of God was so thick in the car. It was beautiful. The peace was just incredible. So I picked up my thing and I got back in my car and I headed back towards our church. And the presence of God just continued to come as I thanked him and just praised him and just really gave him glory. And look, by the time I got back to our church, I just about fell out of the car. You know, on a breathalyzer, I was fine, but on a spiritalyzer, I was trashed. The presence of God was just wonderful. It was so heavy. I actually sat in my car when I got back. And I realized this, is I didn't pray about one thing. Didn't ask him for anything. Just thanked him for the incredible God that he is and the presence that's available to us as Christians. And it just came and it was just beautiful. And the peace that was in that car, there was not one shred of anxiety on my life in that moment. When your genuinely thankful heart comes before his presence, he loves that. And he flings the door open to his presence. And you know what he brings you in that place? The peace that surpasses all understanding. It's all found in that scripture. I'm not telling you anything new. It's all found in that one scripture. Let's pull this apart a little. Because what does being thankful to God do to us? Well, firstly, and very importantly, we start to see ourselves in the proper perspective. We recognize in thanksgiving that we're not in control. Have you noticed that people who have control issues, they're not thankful? They're not thankful to you? Because that would take it outside of their control. See, thankfulness keeps us in the position that we cannot do this without him. Thankfulness is the place of humility before God. See, pride will eliminate thanksgiving, and thanksgiving will eliminate pride. We can't be proud and arrogant and thankful at the same time. If I'm thankful for Pastor Jason for being such a wonderful guy and introducing me like he did, if I say thank you to him, I'm recognizing that he has something or has given me something that I didn't have. Thankfulness is the place of humility. But unfortunately, the world is training us to be unthankful. I'm a self-made man. I've done this on my own. We celebrate people who have achieved amazing things, and that's all well and good. But if we're celebrating it because they've done it out of their own strength and out of their own will and out of their own determination, we're not doing them any favours. I did it my way, and I'm not going to start singing. Have you ever noticed that if we watch TV, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's police shows or action or whether it's chick flicks or whether it's documentary, people aren't thankful. You notice that? They don't say thanks, thank you, really appreciate that, thanks very much. You just do not hear these things, right? You watch. See, the world is training us to be unthankful. But King David understood this principle, and he understood this principle well. He understood the power of thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30 says, "So I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Now, stop and think about that for a minute. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So what happens when we magnify something? If you take a magnifying glass and look at something under a magnifying glass, it becomes very clear and very obvious. It becomes illuminated in our vision, right? And you know what it's like when you look through a microscope? You look down this little lens, you close the other eye so you can't see any other thing, and you look down this little lens, and what you see is perfectly clear and perfectly drawn to your attention. David knew that by doing that, by magnifying God and bringing him into his attention and really seeing, that happened through thanksgiving. Thanksgiving magnifies him, and it magnifies his power in our situations. I remember hearing a story some years ago about a captain of the Mercy ships. You know, you might remember the Mercy ships were an organisation who had a couple of ships, and they would go to impoverished nations and they would bring healthcare and they would bring training and they would bring teaching and humanitarian aid. They were a fantastic organisation. And the story goes, one of the captains of the Mercy ship, or his ship, had broken down in some obscure port where they were anchored. He had no facilities to fix it. They didn't have the parts they needed. They didn't have the people and the expertise they needed to use. And he was really concerned about this because they had port bookings and you know, they're not easy to shift. And if you miss your booking, then you're out of step and you miss your booking with the next place. And he was freaking out. And he was on his cabin floor and he's crying out to God and he's going, "God, please help me. I don't know what to do. How am I ever going to overcome this situation?" And he felt that in a vision, God swept him away into the deepest, darkest regions of the universe. And he started to travel through space with God at his side. And he passed solar system after solar system after solar system. An incredible vast area of space. And he started to see our Milky Way in the distance. And as they flew through space, it got closer and closer and closer. And as he flew through the Milky Way, he started to see our solar system and pass our sun, which was enormous, and then started to see the planets lined out and started to see the Earth as a little blue dot. And he got closer and closer and closer. And as he got closer flying through space, he started to see the oceans and the countries and started to see the landmass where his ship was anchored, and came flying back into the Earth atmosphere and bang onto his cabin floor. And God said to him, "Now tell me about your big problem." It all has to do with perspective. How magnified is your God? Once we have God and who he is in his rightful perspective in our lives, anxiety slips away. So don't magnify your problem. Magnify God in thanksgiving. See, David knew, he knew that's how you magnify God. You start to thank him. Put him into all your circumstances. Thank him, praise him. See, anxiety stems from us not having God where he should be in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Anxiety stems from us not having God where he should be in our lives. And God in your life is exalted through thankfulness. You know, this can change your life. The thing I love about that, this whole concept, is this. Is it's your choice. You don't have to wait for some great anointing from God or some great spiritual lightning bolt that zaps you and anoints you for the purpose of thanksgiving. No, this is your choice. So you can walk out of that door today as changed as you're prepared to be. Your choice. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God," the peace again, "rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Just tacked on the end there, just the afterthought. "And be thankful." You notice how peace, the peace of God, and thankfulness are often connected together. Interesting, that scripture though. Who wants to know what they're called to today? Does anyone here want to know what they're called to? Okay. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful." See, the peace of God and thankfulness are connected. There's other scriptures that just tack on the end, like Colossians 4:2. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." You know, you find bunches of them. Have a look at it. But how do you move into a thankful life? I understand that some of us will find this more easy than others, or easier than others. It's my good English for the day, Pastor Jason. Start with this. Look for the good and thank him for that. Doesn't matter how small it is, just look for the good, minute by minute. And remember what he's done. Remember the big things in your lives. Look, I don't think God minds if you are thanking him for the same things for the rest of eternity. Just thank him for them. All the great things that God's ever done in your life, thank him for those things. Remember what he has done and thank him for those things. Remember, the children of Israel totally lost their way in the desert because it says they forgot the mighty works in the wilderness. When you're in a wilderness, please don't forget the mighty works. Thank him for that. Continuing to thank him. And if you're sitting there this morning going, well, you've got no idea. I've got nothing to thank him for. My life is a mess. Well, if that's you this morning, let's start with this. He saved you. So everyone in this room who has ever given their lives to Jesus Christ has something to thank him for. He's given you eternal life. He's set you free. He saved you. Your life might still be a mess, but he's given you eternal life. Start thanking him for that and see how your life will change. But if you've never received his gift of eternal life, then you can today. Because of this, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So whether you've given your life to Jesus today or whether you haven't given your life to Jesus today, we all have something to be thankful for. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you can just thank him, because when you choose to, he will receive you. That's worth giving thanks for. So everyone on the face of this planet has something to give God thanks for, a significant thing. Do you want to go a little deeper? Okay, let's go. This is 1 Corinthians 14:13. It says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Okay, you know what this is talking about. This is talking about praying in tongues, right? What is the conclusion then? I pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Did you know that's the only place in Scripture that tells us what's happening when we pray in the Spirit? Giving thanks. And not just partially, we give thanks well. You see, 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." And we've just discovered that thanksgiving to God edifies us. It builds us. It causes our focus to be on the right spot. So whether we're built up by giving thanks in tongues or whether we're built up by giving thanks with understanding, giving thanks is what we're doing. It's a powerful thing. I'd never seen that for a long time. But a while ago I saw that and I thought, wow, when we're praying in the Spirit, I'm sure we're doing lots of things. But one of the things that the Bible actually says we're doing well is giving thanks. We need this in our life. You're good? Okay. Well, so far, we've talked about giving thanks in our relationship with God, right? Well, let me tell you this, that living a life of thanksgiving will transform all of your relationships. Start being genuinely thankful to the people around you, and you watch your life change. Denise and I have been married for 37 years. And let me tell you, it wasn't always easy. In fact, the first few years, we struggled. We fought like cat and dog. Well, maybe a little bit. You know, Denise and I both, we're both opinionated people and we love to lead and we're both quite, you know, sort of we have our own ideas. So the first few years of our marriage were very, very turbulent. It's probably a good way of putting it, isn't it? And I had an encounter one day which changed my life, and what happened was I was praying to God, as I did, and I prayed this prayer. And I said, God, why did you have to give me such a difficult woman? It's true. And you know what? God responded in the most powerful way. Look, I don't think it was an audible voice, but this explosive voice inside me said she deserves to be loved. Now, I knew that was God because that was the opposite of what I was thinking. It was loud. And I was reprimanded by God for my prayer about this difficult woman. To be quite honest, it shocked me how forceful and deliberate that comment of she deserves to be loved was. And it stayed with me. And I started to think about this. And I started to think, well, why would God say that? You know, what's that mean? And I started to think about why God would say that Denise deserves to be loved. And I started to think, well, you know, she's godly and she's faithful and she's intelligent and she's a great mother and she's good looking. And I started to realize that, wow, I've got a lot to be thankful for. So I started praying these things back to God. Thank you, God, that you've given me a wife who deserves to be loved. And thank you, Lord, that she's godly. And thank you, Lord, that she's faithful. And thank you, Lord, she's intelligent and she's a great mother and she's all these things. And I started to be thankful and pray that thankfulness to God about my wife. And our relationship changed. It's never been the same again. And I still do that to this day. I still thank God for all those things that my wife is. And our life has become something which is a celebration of success and love and care. And it's just been fantastic. But I first needed to get thankful. It's funny, actually, even now, you know, I'll go, God, please heal my wife. Come on, she deserves to be loved. One day he's going to go, oh, gee, I wish I hadn't said that to that guy. I started to get thankful for who she is, and it changed my perspective, and it changed our life. See, I'm not just talking about positive thinking here. See, this is a supernatural truth that God's power is released through. Thanksgiving is spiritual warfare. See, often the root of our problems or our negativity in our lives is that we're believing a lie. And that lie might have come from a demonic activity or might have come through somebody else, but when we believe that lie, it has power in our lives. Some deliverance of those things comes through encounters in the Word, like what I'm talking about this morning. I had an encounter in the Word about thankfulness, which delivered me from my negativity in that area. And some comes through power encounters in ministry. But sometimes it isn't due to believing a lie. But it's not knowing the truth that is necessary to walk in a particular freedom. We need to find these things. They're our gems and our priceless jewels that God has ready to release us. You know, I'm hoping this morning that just by talking about the power of thanksgiving, this can set some of you free like it has me. You know, like I mentioned, King David really got this. And in Psalm 119, it says, 61, "The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law." Okay? So the cords of the wicked have bound me. He needed to be delivered from his anxiety, from his stress, from his fear. "But I have not forgotten your law." So he remembered the truth that he needed. So at midnight, it says, "I will rise to give you thanks." He recognized that through the giving of thanks, he could be delivered from his fear and anxiety. He knew how to get free. We need to be really careful about what we fear and what we have anxiety over. Because Job said in Job 3:25, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." Need to be careful. It's a door. You need to be careful what we allow ourselves to fear. But if you'll live in constant thanksgiving, the devil will eventually give up on you. You know, life happens. Bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people, right? Because it says in Matthew 5:45, "He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." But it's how we respond to these situations that is key. Every opportunity is an opportunity to give thanks. See, the blessing of God needs to be navigated through the lens of thanksgiving. It's the way we've been created. And we can maximize our blessing through the multiplication of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer sacrifices of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." The fruit of our lips giving thanks. See, the seed of your future blessing for your life is found in the fruit of your lips giving thanks. Just like the worship team to join me. Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you." See, thanksgiving is not a thing to do, it's a life to live. If you allow God to develop these truths in you, then go and release it into your world. Imagine thankfulness over your spouse and over your family. Imagine thankfulness over your work colleagues and your boss. Imagine thankfulness over your pastor. We need to get really thankful for who God has given us as pastors of this church. Imagine thankfulness over your opportunities and the place in which you live, and watch your life change. Because thankfulness releases favor an opportunity. Let's close our eyes this morning. Let me read this scripture over you. This is Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.